58 outside, we have John Rudy and Kevin Kingston, Kingston Wealth Management in studio. Kevin, normally you get top billing, but right now John is my Florida guy, and so I got to ask him some questions. I mean, you've mentioned
I'm supposed to have top billing. Come on.
So you do have
good
top
morning,
billing, except
by the
for
way,
today.
How are you?
Except for today, because we have to send our pity to John and his family, as we're worried about your homestead, your secondary homestead down in Florida. Tell me, what do you do when you see a forecast like Irma?
They're evacuating. All my neighbors will be out of there by Wednesday as a precaution.
Today's Wednesday, so they're leaving today.
They'll be out tonight. Yeah. And so, you know, Susan, you're at the mercy of the direction that this thing goes. I live in Treasure Island, and so, you know, right now the models are, at least are showing it going up the south, up the east side, and then we would just catch the back ends. But nobody knows. I mean, if that thing jogs anyway around Key West and comes up, you know, on the west side of the, you know, Sarasota, Fort Myers Beach, Treasure Island. I mean,
Treasure Island is just southwest of Tampa.
It is.
For everybody that
just on the other side of, just
at the map,
north of Sarasota. So, you know, it's as Kevin and I were talking this morning, this is a devastating hurricane from the standpoint, all hurricanes are bad. This one may have no equal when it comes to force and power. So all bets are off as to what's going to happen with things. I think Florida will know more in the next 36 to 48 hours as to where and when things. But it looks like right now it's Saturday evening is the nearest guess that everybody thinks. So
I've never lived in Florida. What kind of preparations does a state that is accustomed to these threats make?
You know, they start routing traffic going out of the state one way. You know,
already
so it's not
cleared out.
Key West
last night, and
airports close.
But buy supplies if you're staying.
Yeah.
And
Most of the people in our area have hurricane shutters, which certainly helps a lot to make the damage. But the biggest part of it is you never – places that have hurricane category 3s, 4s, and 5s, if that happens, it's just years before things ever get back to where they ever were. The trees are all stripped. The lands, you know, the beach erosion. It's just a – you know, it's a horrible thing. But hopefully people have gotten the message that the loss of life issue is – what you want to avoid, obviously.
Well, and on the heels of Harvey,
Susan,
I mean, to have another, it looks like it's be highly unlikely at this point that it wouldn't hit Florida.
It's going to hit somewhere. I might ask Kevin, though, because being in the insurance side, I know you don't do property and casualty, but clearly companies that are involved in this whole insurer, whether it be Houston or Texas or potentially now Florida with Irma, this is a big issue to the industry.
Insurance stocks have taken a hit without a doubt. Obviously, oil stocks to some extent. So you're seeing that as part of the market pullback, you know, yesterday. Now you're seeing a little upturn again today.
Yeah.
And in the scheme of things, John, I mean, I, you know, want to talk about markets in general. When you look at a S&P of 2460 and, you know, the high is 2490, we're not far off the high in spite of Harvey, you know, you would have actually, I would have expected to have more impact.
I honestly thought the gas prices would go higher.
Well, and you're seeing oil up a little bit at about 50. 49, you know, approaching 50. But as John said, you know, it's really insurance stocks have taken a hit. It's pulled market values down. Then you add North Korea.
Yeah.
You know, those two things, Harvey, North Korea, now potentially Irma.
Yeah.
You know, it is having an effect on the economy and markets. And, you know, you look at Harvey and so many lives lost and people devastated, really. So our prayers go out to them and hope for the best.
But with Harvey, you have such a large portion of the population that won't be covered by insurance because they didn't buy flood insurance, thinking either it wasn't available to them and they were wrong, or it was unnecessary, and for 500 years that was true. Mm-hmm. Whereas Floridians, a little more accustomed to the ups and downs of hurricane life. So will there be, in your opinion, John, your majority of your neighbors covered by insurance?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I do think, you know, when you're in a...
It's required in most areas. Unlike Houston, there are a lot of people that weren't required to have it.
Yeah, and like you said, when you have those events that happen, they just, it's hard to insure for those kind of things. I mean, you can over-insure, and many places you can't even buy it. You know, it's something that we're going to have to watch the next several days, but Kevin makes a really good point about the market, Susan, is that, Kevin, even with the volatility yesterday, and everybody wants to point to you know, at one day being the predictor of what's going on. But all of a sudden, even today, as you mentioned, we're so close to the highs in the S&P that you've got to be impressed with what's been going on. The financial stocks today came back.
Well, is that because of Trump's announcement about a tax cut? Yesterday, the markets were going downward, and then he makes this afternoon announcement about the tax cut.
You know, you have to believe at this point the markets have priced that in a way, just on hopefulness, if nothing else. You know, we've been talking about it for 6 to 8 months now, so I think markets are definitely hoping for it, and I think expecting it.
Kevin, you do talk about things that change in the markets. One thing that I did notice, I'm sure you did too, is it looks like right now the Fed may be apprehensive about a rate hike for December. I think that they said there's maybe only a 1 in 3 chance right now. And part of it they cite is the very low inflation rates that we're at right now. What are your thoughts about that? I mean, would you be surprised to see a rate hike at this point in December?
I think it's really a little too early to tell, but that's the signal. You're correct. It looks like they're pausing a bit based on inflation and then also, you know, the economic impact of things like Harvey, Irma, North Korea. I think they're seeing a little bit of a reason not to raise, but I think there's a lot of time left. It's too early to tell.
It is. I think.
You know, they pretty well committed to they were going to do 3 hikes. Yeah, it'll actually be surprising if they don't before the year's over do that last hike.
The other thing that we talk about, Susan, a lot is bond pricing and what's happening to the 10-year yield. Kevin, I noticed that we were at the lowest level of the year. I mean, it just speaks to what people are doing.
Just when you thought it couldn't go any lower, you've got a 10-year bond at about 2%, almost unbelievable.
And Kevin, for our listeners, what's really fueling that
well,
movement?
We're still the safe haven, so you've got, you know, the foreign governments and many buyers of our treasury bonds that are willing to buy it at 2%.
Yeah.
You know, previously we were in that 2.5 range, so it's come down pretty dramatically.
You know, one of the byproducts that we talk about that often happens with that 10-year pricing is what effect it has on mortgage rates. And again, we thought, just when you didn't think mortgage rates could be any lower, they still are very, very low. Part of the problem with that is, you know, whatever, it's great if you're in a market of refinancing or if you're buying, but Kevin, saw an article, and I'm sure you probably saw it too, that half of the top U.S. housing markets right now are believed to be overvalued, and you've got a very limited or becoming more limited supply. The demand is still fairly great because of the low interest rates, and so it sets up for a potential problem if people aren't careful. And I do think there are more things in place right now. My son Chris is going through a refinance, and he's finding out real quickly that the game has changed so much dramatically that what they're asking for on these refinances is incredible. And it's not just one institution. It's pretty much across the board. You have to do that. But
regulations are still very strict and a lot of requirements.
And that may help a little bit of this craziness we didn't have in the bubble crisis. But I think this low interest rate environment is certainly fueling home prices anyway, up about 6.8% in July, so nationally.
We actually had some competition real estate in the area where multiple offers pushing the price above the list price.
Yeah.
I've never experienced that or heard of it in 20 years in this town. So it just depends on where you're at. And we talk real estate on Fridays with our friend Greg Zavitz. But right now we're talking with our money masters. That would be Kevin Kingston and John Rudy from Kingston Wealth Management. We are going to take a short break. We've got lots more to cover. The refineries, the estate conversation today, an estate plan or a wealth transfer strategy is the educational lesson you're going to get from John and Kevin, and always like to have a list of top 5 or 6 things you should or shouldn't do. Today it's 6 financial moves that could ruin your retirement. Stay tuned for all of that and more here on WJBC.
Central Illinois' voice. On Twitter.
On Wednesdays, we wear pink and we talk money. With Kevin Kingston and John Ritty from Kingston Wealth Management, you can learn all about them at kingstonwealthmanagement.net. You can always give them a call and make your first appointment absolutely free to ask all those questions that, unfortunately, for legal reasons, we can't have on the air. So that's why we're kind of talking at you instead of to you today. But a lot of education to be had. And over the years, I've learned how to say things like Dow Jones Industrials and the market indicators with confidence. You'll learn the differences between bull markets and dove markets and all kinds of things. Now, today we were talking about market updates. Just real quick on oil prices. We haven't seen oil prices really make a big jump.
No, you know, right now we're all seeing that temporary, which we, I think, two or a couple weeks ago, right when in the midst of Harvey, Kevin and I both thought we wouldn't be surprised to see gas in that 275 range and maybe even a little bit higher. And until you get the production going back in those refineries, Kevin, until you get some of those things going, and top that off, you're also going to get that mix back to winter mix, which is generally a little bit cheaper anyway. Mm-hmm. So I think if people can just understand that this isn't going to be necessarily long-term because of the weather, the unknown is what impact does this next hurricane potentially have on the Gulf. So right now it's still very palatable, Kevin, compared to where we were, but things, I would not be surprised to see it go up a little bit more as the supply temporarily tightens a bit. But as far as oil prices go, $50 roughly a barrel is not terrible.
No, very, very favorable. And as you mentioned at the pump, you know, you've seen a little increase, but it's not horrible.
Not drastic, yeah. No.
It makes me very, very smart shopper right now. Anything that will give me gas points,
no,
you know, to take off on my gas total bill. And
well, that kind of help
attending
you.
Attending the grocery stores.
That'll kind of get you into our next topic, Susan, because the more money you have, the more money you have to leave to somebody. And I wanted to ask Kevin, because you do a lot of estate planning along with some very, very good attorneys in this town. It's just several excellent attorneys for a community this size. But, Kevin, there was an article that talked about, isn't an estate plan or wealth transfer strategy? And I want to read just the first paragraph, and then we'll talk about three little things. It says there are three categories of estate planning: advanced, basic, and none at all. Basic is better than none, but elementary estate planning can still leave something to be desired. While appropriate documents may be in place, they may not be able to fully convey what you really want to do with your estate. Kevin, this comes up all the time, and there were kind of three things that we're going to try to hit, and we'll try to get them before the news, and if not, we'll carry them over. But the first thing that people are really, I know you ask, is have you committed your wishes to your heirs in writing? Talk about that it's just not that cut and dried with just forms.
Well, I think, John, in a nutshell, the key is to create a plan, you know, have a plan. As you said, even a basic plan is better than none at all, but then also communicate what the plan is. So many people, I think, don't want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
With heirs, don't really want to tell people their family or so forth what's going on. But the best outcomes we see is when those plans are communicated.
Mm-hmm.
And not only what are the dollar amounts,
right,
and where are they coming from, but what would we like to see happen? I mean, we perhaps worked our entire life to create this estate, and now we're transferring it to perhaps children or other heirs. And I think a big part of it is communicating what
mm-hmm.
you want them to do.
What's
with
the purpose?
It. Yeah.
Because I think you hit the nail on the head, Kevin. It's more than just how many dollars are there, mom and dad or grandma and grandpa. It's like, what do you see this becoming? Is it generational? Is it for the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren? Is part of it to be maybe left to a charity?
Well, we've talked with many friends and clients about, they've seen others where, you know, perhaps children receive several million dollars, and within a few years it's gone. You know, they consume it, spend it.
Yep.
So I think one way to, if that's not really what you desire, I think maybe talking with your heirs about what you would like to see happen,
mm-hmm.
how you'd like to see them use those dollars, invest that money, who you want it to benefit long term,
mm-hmm.
maybe not just your immediate children, but grandchildren.
Yeah.
And really communicate and express that. I think when people do that, there's usually a better outcome.
Well, and you touched on the next point I was going to make, is that are your heirs prepared to inherit your wealth? And preparing them during your lifetime is critical, Kevin, because one of the things that you need to be able to do is, you know, introduce them to maybe a financial expert, a tax expert, attorneys. Those, if heirs, and you've seen it and I've seen it, if they're not prepared, it can be dissipated. It can be just absolutely blown in a very short amount of time. We're talking about some significant dollars if you don't have the right people giving you direction.
Yeah, that's correct, John. And, you know, you mentioned ideally someone has what I refer to as an estate planning team, an attorney, perhaps their CPA, financial planner, investment advisor, and they work in coordination to develop that plan. And ideally, it's well communicated to children, grandchildren, and ideally children, grandchildren know who your advisors are. So they're not meeting your attorney or financial advisor the day or two after you pass away.
Have you ever seen anybody put down something that was maybe too particular for the next generation that says, well, I want you to take the money that I'm giving to you, but I also want you to have at least six children and build a shrine in my name?
Yes. you see some pretty controlling kind of wealth transfer strategies. And by the same token, I wouldn't be too critical of that. It's somebody's estate. They created it, and it's kind of whatever they desire to do with it. But yet, you know, you say, well, I wonder why they want to control some of the things that they want to control. So sometimes it's hard to understand.
Well, what is the contingency? Let's say the next generation isn't able to comply with whatever the strategy was. Then what happens to the money? Is that built into the strategy? If you don't accept my terms, then we'll go to plan B.
Those usually end up in court battles.
Mm-hmm. Okay. what were some of the good wealth strategies, though, you've seen designed? What were some of the best ones, like putting ages on when the children receive the money or requirements of you have to complete a college education? Or what were some of the good ideas?
Well, those are good questions. Yep. And the age requirement you mentioned, I think, is a great one to talk about. I've always thought about if my children are 4 or 5 years old, you know, you really don't want to dump a large sum of money in their lap. And ideally, you have a will with guardianship, maybe a trustee or advisor who manages that money for their benefit. But I think you hit the nail on the head. Ideally, if you're trying to instill responsibility in children and adult children, you know, 21 may not be old enough. I kind of like 30, 35, you know, just depending on their other resources. But you also typically would give them access to dollars for health care, education, all those type of things. They may just be restricted on taking a large sum out until age 30.
Yep.
We have a second half of the show still to come with Kevin Kingston and John Rudy. There's more to learn, more to know, including six financial moves that could ruin your retirement. And I have a way to improve your retirement. Started out with a brand new car. I'll tell you how to win that after headlines at the WJBC News Desk.
WJBC.com. I'm Greg Hallbleib.
Thank you, Greg Hallbleib. We're always talking about ways to make your retirement better. Maybe you're retired now. You need a new car. Let's give you one. WJBC wants you to get qualified now at the VIP Club at WJBC.com for your choice of vehicles from our friends at O'Brien Auto Team. Your choice includes a 2017 Nissan Rogue Sport, 2017 Mitsubishi Outlander, 2017 Kia Soul, or a 2017 Hyundai Tucson. Yours to keep. We'll discover who our winner is on Saturday, September 30th, and you must be present to win at O'Brien Kia that day. Again, all the details, links, ways for you to register and be a daily qualifier available at WJBC.com. That's one thing that we could add to that wealth transfer list we were talking about before we went to break with Kevin Kingston and John Rudy from Kingston Wealth Management. Will wealth transfer you a new vehicle? Did we get through the entire list
before we get to the next topic, which is a good one, I do want to ask Kevin one thing, because the one thing that when you're talking about these estate planning wealth transfers issues, Kevin, is have you double checked things? Look at your beneficiary forms and other estate planning documents. Are they up to date? When a form is out of date, it can invite problems. Kevin, you've seen that firsthand in the years you've been in this business, and looking over the forms are just critical.
Well, it's a little bit like an annual physical, John. I think it's a good idea to review your estate planning documents, and as you said, the beneficiaries, the designations that go with it. You may have made an election at work on a 401k that hasn't been changed for many years. Perhaps you've lost a spouse or divorced or had additional children, whatever the case may be, that beneficiary may be stale and needs to be updated. We see many times people forget to review life insurance policy beneficiaries. I purchased insurance 10 years ago, mm-hmm. named a beneficiary, but I didn't name a contingent.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, I didn't have any children. Now I do. So those things get overlooked routinely.
And you work with, when you have a client who's going through that, you work closely with their attorney side by side.
Absolutely. And part of that overall plan is to review all documents, mm-hmm. review all beneficiaries. And I think, as you know, John, beneficiary designations pass separately from will and trust. Once in a while, someone will say, well, I've just changed my will and trust. That takes care of everything, thinking that overrides beneficiary on 401k or life insurance or IRA, but it doesn't. You know, those pass separately. So even though you've made a will change, you still need to review and possibly update beneficiaries.
Well, in summary, we would just say a basic estate plan is better than procrastination, but Kevin, a real bona fide wealth transfer strategy is even better, and that's something you encourage.
And I think one of the things, John, to summarize that you're getting at is communicating to heirs why you're doing something with your plan, not just here's what I'm leaving and here's when you'll receive it, but this is why and what I'd like to accomplish, how I'd like to benefit you or perhaps charities.
Let me jump into the next topic, and we'll try to hit as many as we can, Susan. But, you know, we've talked about how difficult it is just to get to retirement, just that whole the whole process of a lifetime work and what you need to survive 2, 3, 4 decades in retirement. One of the things that we're going to talk about is some of the things that if you ignore these financial moves, that they could really put a wrench into your plan. And Kevin, it starts out, one of the things they say is have the money talk with your adult kids. I think statistics show that within the last 12 months, 61% of parents have admitted to helping out their adult children. We all want to help our kids, but Kevin, while you're working, that might work. But when you're retired, that really can cause some stress on what you're able to do.
Yeah, and we've seen it play out, John, where you think you're helping your children by providing some annual gifts while you're working, and then you get into retirement and realize you really can't afford that, and all of a sudden you realize, or soon will, that maybe your children are dependent on those gifts. So, you know, I think it gets back to, if you're making substantial monetary gifts or support to adult children, I think you've got to prepare them for this may not last forever.
Mm-hmm.
Or we may have to change this as we move into retirement.
You know, we talk about risk a lot on this show, Susan, as you've been with us for so long. And people talk about dialing down risk as you get older, but I'd rather call it monitoring risk, Kevin, because in all cases, you don't need to necessarily, depending on your situation, dial into a very conservative portfolio. But I do think it raises the question that you should visit what your risk is at all times, because you see sometimes people who don't even realize that they've got way too much in maybe one basket of equities and not enough in bonds, and so you need to always be looking at that anyway.
And I would add to that, John, when we typically talk about risk in a portfolio, we're not talking about undue risk.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about unregistered securities that are going to be worthless. You're really talking about daily valued
mm-hmm.
securities in a portfolio. Many times we like to think in terms of maybe three buckets, if you will. One for cash, emergencies, major purchases. So that should have little to no risk. And then a second tier would be something that has a little more moderate risk for interim needs. Well, we may have to do some repairs or home remodeling in 5 years, but we really don't think we need that
mm-hmm.
money for a little longer period of time. So perhaps you have some cash for that purpose, but a little bit of holdings in equities and other fixed income for diversification, John. And then lastly, longer term,
mm-hmm.
IRA 401ks. I think too often people put everything in the same category.
Sure.
And try to be conservative with everything. Well, IRA 401k money maybe invested for 30 years or more in retirement. So that's a place where you really need more equities.
Very good.
We have more to add to the list of financial moves that could ruin your retirement from Kevin Kingston and John Rudy. And that will be on the air next on WJBC. Kevin Kingston, John Rudy from Kingston Wealth Management. Again, you can stop into the office and make an appointment or give them a call and say, hey, I want to talk more about some of those things you were discussing on the air. Right now, our final educational segment includes financial moves that can ruin your retirement.
We've talked about a few of them, and in the time we've got left, Kevin, I'm going to combine the next two because I think they make sense, and that's meeting with a financial planner to help create a long-term financial plan. Kevin, when you don't do this every day, when you're not part of your lifestyle, it's important to get very good advice, very solid. And so I think that financial planner could, in many cases, help meet that.
We clearly see a difference, John, in those who create a plan and those who don't. Sometimes, for whatever reason, people just choose not to, and things happen that I think, you know, had they created a plan, they would have had a better outcome.
Mm-hmm.
I think of it like a roadmap. I use the example, I can drive from here to San Diego without a map, but if I have a map, I can get there a lot more efficiently. And that's really what a financial plan is. It just gives you a roadmap. You kind of plan ahead, not only for dollars and cents, but you plan ahead for your emotions. What
exactly.
Will I do
I'm
when
glad
this
you pointed
happens?
That out. Yeah. Yeah. There's the, everybody's, look, we're all emotional creatures. I mean, and if you don't have something in place, it's real easy to just go where your gut tells you to go. So I'm glad you pointed that out because I think that's as important as any part of it. Kevin, one of the other things too, we've talked about, but I think it's worth repeating because long-term care, health, all those issues can really get in the way and ruin a retirement plan if it's not accounted for on the front end.
Again, John, somehow, some way, I think it should be part of an overall plan. Either you're going to self-insure, maybe partially insure, fully insure, whatever the case may be, but develop a plan for how you're going to address that. When you look at life expectancies, you know, it's 95. I think the actual age for a female is 91, 92 mm-hmm. today. Male is just short of 90. So if somebody's retiring at 65, it can be a long time in retirement. Mm-hmm. And chances are when we're in our 90s or even mid-80s, perhaps even younger, you're going to need some assistance at some point.
Yeah.
It could be assisted living or full nursing care, all those things, and they all come at a significant cost.
The last on my list that I want you just to comment on, and Susan, we've talked about a little bit, is how to handle Social Security. Kevin, you could have a show after show about what to do, when to take it, how to handle it. But I think it is an important component of it because I've seen people make mistakes when they, in many cases, if they take it too early, if they leave too much, take too big of a haircut, and it doesn't really help them get through the month.
You turn the clock back, John, 30 years ago, life seemed simpler in general, but certainly Social Security was simpler. Today, yeah. It's become very complex. There's so many intricacies that, you know, have to be addressed. You mentioned, you know, age. Do I take it at 65, 66 if I'm eligible, or do I defer that? What's the spouse's benefit look like? There's just so many things that impact that I think it's an integral part of that financial plan.
It's a huge part because, Susan, as we've talked about, it's such a, in many cases, it's some folks' only source of income. You hope that's not the case, but the reality shows is that it is the major source of income for many, many Americans. So always need to be taken care of. Certainly want to thank you, Susan, too, because your listeners are they like you, they listen to you, and they've taken your suggestion because we've had a lot of calls in the last 2 to 3 weeks. And if people want to read,
because it's very hard to take notes while you're listening to the radio and you're giving us so much information.
Well, and the guys can break down things a little bit easier for folks. But if you are interested, you want to come in, just call us at 663-9477. The guys don't bite, and they're really good to work with.
And they're not going to ask you for a big check.
No, they're not.
I think that's also the good news that we need to spread.
But
But yeah. John Rudy, best of luck with
everything.
Thank
you. Yeah, we'll keep our fingers crossed.
Irma and all of those other retirees that Kingston Wealth Management has put down in Florida. I know a lot of them listen to us online at WJBC.com. We're thinking of everybody and hoping that you've got emergency funds and good insurance and know that we'll all give you a place to stay if you need to come up here temporarily. Not forever, but at least temporarily. You know, we're happy to take you back here in Illinois. And, gentlemen, we'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Susan.
Securities offered through Valmark Securities, Inc. Member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Valmark Advisors, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor. Kingston Financial Group, Incorporated, is a separate entity of Valmark Securities, Inc. and Valmark Advisors, Inc., and past performance does not guarantee future results.